all yours for me for 20, 30 years.
Uh-huh.
He's helped almost his entire career. Now he's retired down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I've got almost lost contact with him. Uh-huh. I did send him a copy of my book, which he's mentioned in it.
Uh-huh.
About a dozen telephones on it, and one of them got short circuited. I went over that, the line was about 10 miles long. I went over that line time after time after time, I couldn't find any short circuit. And so I started going into the house to see if I could find it. I got in the Jack Ames house, my golly, with Mrs. Ames, they put her glasses on top of the telephone box where the ringer was, and the two binding folks came in there.
Uh-huh.
And she had metal frame, and she shouted the line right there and there. It took me days to find that.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine what it was. So I wanted God to put your glasses up there. Here in London, about 2 days, 2-3 days before D-Day, and what did I find? I found the American people. Well, I'll go back a little bit. The British had their communication system over the seas to France on the Isle of Wight, way up on the top of the cliffs, overlooking the salt water.
Uh-huh.
Microwaves they used. They worked fine because of the high conductivity of the sea. Well, I found out that the Americans were very foolishly trying to duplicate that over land. They were about 70 miles inland.
Uh-huh.
And then when it would poop out in about a mile over land for conductivity. Well, the salt water was fine.
Uh-huh.
So, D-Day was still in a minute. I had to do something fast.
Did they call you in for that purpose?
Yes. I had a couple of days to get get something working for the landing of our troops.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, the British were using a microwave which went to pay over the sea. And the Americans were very foolish at trying to build it inland.
Uh-huh.
It would poop on about 5 or 6 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were wasting the time. I had a couple of days to do something. And I recall working with the Bell Lab sometime down in the Florida jungle, how to communicate out of the jungle. We use horizontal wires, low, just above the ground, the shot stick up the sky. So you got off the sky wave. And so, as I say, I had a day or 2 days somehow to get the work going for the invasion of the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I had to think of to duplicate the work that we did down there in Florida, to use a low horizontal antenna.
Uh-huh.
And use that for communication from headquarters to the ships, and the ships back to the headquarters. And as I say, I had a day and a half, 2 days to get going.
Mm.
I set it up. And D-Day, the head of the Air Force, asked me to come out there to Uxbridge. And I say it was Uxbridge in the direction of France, was several miles overland.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know how it was going to work. And I was very worried, because if it didn't work, I would feel guilty if hundreds of our boys trying to land on the beach were going to kill.
Yeah.
I'd feel I was guilty. So I was worried sick. And on D-Day, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I really was very, very worried.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the general in charge of the Air Force came in and says, "Well, my boy, thanks to you, there was no difficulty in the landing of our troops on the continent." Boy, did that really mind. Because I found out I did something useful,
mm-hmm.
something foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, that was a wonderful relief.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have set up communication via Presque Isle, Maine, Greenland, Iceland, to Prestwick, Scotland, for flying our fighter planes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And some of them, well, when I got into the picture, they were using short waves to communicate between Presque Isle, Maine, and Blue US 1 in Greenland. And they were using short waves, which were notoriously unreliable due to sunspot effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were sending planes out without having any knowledge of the weather in Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
And the airstrip was down in the valley. And you had to be right on the button to look down in there to see where the airstrip was.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't see the, you couldn't find the airstrip, if you couldn't find it in bad weather, you had to land the planes on the ice cap.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too rough to take off. And so they had to abandon them and rescued the crews by the dog said.
Yeah.
But to this day, there's probably a dozen perfectly good fighter airplanes sitting up there on the ice cap.